It's great to be back at New Hope. I was in Africa through the 17th, and I had to get a negative COVID test to leave Sudan. And so I'm thankful for a negative COVID test. If I had not gotten a negative COVID test, I would have had to remain in Sudan until I got that, which would probably have been about a month to 6 weeks. So I'm thankful for being back. And I'm always thankful for being at New Hope. God is doing some amazing things here. I mean, even today, I'll share some things that God's been doing, I mean, even since this morning's service. But I want us to think this morning of the stories that we tell. Think about the stories that you tell among yourself. We have possession stories. Hey, you're not going to believe this new outfit I got. Hey, you're not going to believe what we did in the kitchen. You're not going to believe the new windows we got. I was talking to somebody last night about the new windows they were thinking about getting. All right, so we tell these possession stories. Or we tell accomplishment stories, all right? I had a basketball game and I scored double digits, all right? Or I got a new job and you're not gonna believe my salary that I get. Went out to the Grand Canyon in October and we hiked the rim to rim, all right? Guys like to tell accomplishment stories. In Texas, we like to tell, you know, how big of a deer we shot. And then we mount it and we put it on in our house, you know? But as the church, we also tell certain kinds of stories. And in the church, we tell transformation stories. And these are the best kind of stories. Transformation stories are the stories about how our life is changing, about how what God is doing in our life. I used to be like this, and now I'm like this. I used to be going down this particular path, being drawn by all these different type of distractions, and now I'm headed in a different place. These are Jesus-type stories. The other focuses, stories are kind of focused on ourselves, what we have and what we've done. Transformation stories are the stories that of what Jesus is doing in our life. And I want us to think about transformation. I get invited to tell missions, to come and preach for missions at New Hope. But I really want us to think today, this question. If you have in your notes, just write this down. All right. And here's the question. What has Jesus done in your life that you would tell somebody else about? All right. What has Jesus done uniquely to you that would move you to tell somebody else about it? All right. As Christians, I mean, we have some amazing things that have happened to us. We have the cross where forgiveness happened. So there's nothing in our life that we can never be ashamed of because the cross is there. We have the resurrection that Jesus rose from the dead, so we don't have to fear death. We have eternal life that's coming for us. I mean, how good of a deal is that? We have the Holy Spirit. Every one of you that has trusted in Jesus, you have the very presence of God that dwells within us. We have the Bible that gives us our divine steps. We have the church, which gives us relationship. The church is more than just a building. It's more than just a day of the week. The church is relationships. I mean, those of you that are listening online and you're not physically at church, there's no limitation for the church because the church is about one another. It's about intimacy. It's about community. And then we have the kingdom of God. The kingdom is our purpose. We get to do things that last for eternity. So I'm just giving you some things to think about, but I really want us to think about this idea of what has Jesus done uniquely in your life that you would tell somebody else about? It's a great question to ask because a lot of times you get around Christians and sometimes Christians don't have joy. Can you believe it? We have all these things that Christ has done and yet we really don't have much to talk to people about. Our stories are about, you know, possessions and what God's doing in our house or accomplishments that we've done and ski trips that we've taken. And those are cool. I love those trips. But the kind of stories that matter are these transformation stories. And what I want us to do today, I want us to look at one of my most favorite passages. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, if you can. John chapter 4. The reason transformation is so important is because transform people transform people. Listen to the verb there. Transformed people transform people. Said another way, if you're not in the process of being transformed, what are you going to talk to somebody else about Jesus about? But if your life is being transformed, you have something to talk about. And I want to tell you this, we are living in one of the most amazing times ever. I mean, around the world, and I can vouch for this. I flew out of here. The airport was about 10% occupancy on a Saturday at George Bush International, which is typically one of the busiest days. It was like 10% capacity. Even the security people are quiet. Typically, the security people are loud at you, get out your computers and all that. They're quiet because there's hardly anybody there. And then you go to Germany, and Germany is few capacity. And everybody is experiencing this kind of the shrinking of the soul. But this is the time for us as the church, because we have something that transcends COVID. We have a hope that extends beyond that. And so I want us to look at what Jesus does. And I want us to fall in love with Jesus again. So as I read, I'm going to pick up where Pastor Matt left us at verse 7. But as we read these passages, I want you to listen for the uniqueness of Jesus. What does he uniquely do that is just different? And then I want you to say, listen for the impact that this had on this woman who has a story in her life. And let me just say this to all of us. All of us have a story. All of us have stuff in our life that if it was exposed, we would probably feel a little embarrassed about it. We would probably feel a little shamed by it. We would probably not want somebody else to know about it. And Jesus is going to do something in this passage that is really supernatural, because he is going to expose a woman for everything that is there. And instead of this woman feeling shamed, instead of this woman saying, please stop it, she is going to come out of that story and go tell people about what Christ has done by exposing her. That is not normal. And so the title of this message is called Brokenness, a bridge to God's blessing and not a barrier. Brokenness, a bridge to God's blessing and not a barrier. See, for most people, if you talk to them and you ask them what's their biggest objection about sharing their faith, they typically have two answers. Answer number one is what? I just don't know enough. I'm not one of you guys that have been to seminary. I just don't know enough. I don't know what to say to somebody. And the objection number two, and this is universal, objection number two around the world is, if you knew my past, there's no way that God could ever use me. I'm damaged goods. And I want to show you today that Jesus brings something different to us. The transformation that he brings in the midst of our brokenness. Our brokenness is not a barrier, but it's a bridge to what God wants to do. So let me pray for us before we jump into this passage. Lord, I want to thank you for what you're already doing at this church today, even. God, I want to thank you for a story that I've already heard about lives of families back in China, that people are giving their life to Christ even there. And so, Lord, I pray for our time together right now, Lord, that you would open our eyes to the beauty of Jesus, and that, God, we would be surprised and amazed again. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you truly knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it, and as did his sons and his flocks and his herds? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but everyone who drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of living water welling up into eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me some of this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet, and our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers for the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked him, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, harvest the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them and stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Praise God. Remember our question? Our question was, what has Jesus done in your life that would cause you to share that with somebody else? If we would happen to have the Samaritan woman here today and had a chance to interview her, based on what you know from Scripture, what would she say about that? What would the woman that we just read about, if we had a chance to bring her here today and say, what has Jesus done in your life that you would tell somebody else about? What does the passage say? The passage says that Jesus encountered her, and in the process of encountering her, revealed and exposed the things in her life that were a hole in her life. She had had 5 husbands, and the guy that she was currently with was what? Was not her husband. Said another way, this woman had a hole in her heart that she was trying to fill by what? By relationships with men. And it was not filling her whole until Jesus came and gave her something that was satisfying. And she goes into town and she reveals what? She says, come see this man who told me everything I ever did. Let's just comment on that for a minute. Did he tell her everything she ever did? No. He just talked to her about a few things. But the everything that he did talk about was what mattered the most to her. And Jesus touched that spot. See, this is not natural. Around the world, there's various cultures that have various different ways of operating in regards to revealing your heart. My wife, Anne, and my daughter, Madison, who are over here today, we lived in Ethiopia for a couple years. And prior to this message, there was a group that was meeting right here in the room, and we were talking about cultural things that are kind of unique around the world. In Ethiopia, they put a barrier up on their heart. So even inside the church, how are you? Good. How's your family? Good. How's your family? Great. How's your kids doing? Great. Great, great. There's this whole process of questions that you go through that seem to be really relational. It's just cultural. How are you? And you go through, how's your uncle? How's your aunt? How's your mom? And all this. But you never reveal your heart. You keep that covered, all right? And what is so unique is the cultural day in which Jesus was operating in was a shame culture as well. This culture was a shame culture. From what I understand, China is a shame culture as well. You do not say things that would ever shame you and primarily your family or your relatives. And here's a woman that Jesus exposed the things that are in her heart that were keeping her from Christ. And what? She goes vocal with those things. It's amazing. So let's unpackage that just a little bit, all right? Because before we get to that, I want us to look at the way in which Jesus did that. This is a mission Sunday, and we're looking at ways in which we can be transformational agents in the lives of people. If we were in a small group, we would have a fun time. I sent some questions out earlier this week to help you kind of immerse yourself in this passage. Well, let's just look at some things that Jesus did that were able to help him get inside people. First of all, in our story, it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. If we had a map here today, Jerusalem is here and he's going to Galilee, and Samaria is in between Jerusalem and Galilee. If you look at the map, Jesus did not have to go to Samaria. He could have gone east. He could have gone around it this way. He could have gone around it to the west. He didn't have to go to Samaria geographically. But Jesus went through Samaria intentionally. Why? Because Jesus was after one individual. I work in Africa, and I work among really big denominations. So I work with like million-person churches in Nigeria. We work with a church in Nigeria that has 20 million people. Uganda, 14 million people. Ethiopia, 8 to 10 million people. But the beauty of this passage is when Jesus starts a movement, does he begin with the many or does he begin with the few? Is this a conference? Is he going to Samaritan for a conference? Or is he going for an encounter with one person? He's going for an encounter with one person. This convicts me. I'm somebody that likes to think in like this, big things. And Jesus was thinking in big things, but he was thinking that in terms of one individual person is somebody that I want to focus on. This morning, there was a guy by the name of Jeff, that's his American name, who came over to the United States about a year ago and works in one of the restaurants around here. And somebody from this church picked him up today and brought him to church, and Jeff gave his life to Christ today in this church. Praise God. Praise God for that. Right before the first service, the translator came to me and he said, I just want to let you know that somebody came to know the Lord today. Last time I preached here was in September, and we preached on the idea of the priesthood and that every one of us is a priest. It's the identity. It's the way that we view ourselves. Well, there was a guy there at that service that afterwards said, would you pray for me? I really want to speak to my family in China. He came up to me before the service today, and he said, you remember when you prayed for me? I Zoomed with my family back in China, and four of my family members came to know Jesus Christ. And I didn't understand the relationship of the relative situation, but one of those family members was ill and on her deathbed. She gave her life to Christ and was baptized in the hospital. Amazing. Amazing. Transformation. If we become intentional about the people that are in our life. All right. This week, I just want to let you know that God is going to bring some people in your life. It's not the question, is God going to bring the people in my life? The question this week is, am I going to be ready for the people that God brings in my life? I'll probably eat out 5 to 8 times this week. That's what I do. I have breakfast and lunches with people out. And I'll have a waiter and I'll have a waitress that come by. And it's a great opportunity for me to talk to Jesus about them. Am I going to be ready for that? Or am I going to be focusing on stories like how much I have and my accomplishments? Or am I going to be ready to think about transformation? What I want you to see in this passage is, what was Jesus thinking about? Jesus was thinking about people. And he was thinking about people that were far from him in that. Second thing we see in this passage is we see that Jesus was willing to break taboos to reach people. All right, let's just think through some of the taboos. One, Jesus was a man and she was a woman. You had the gender taboo. In that culture, men and women did not function that way. Politically, she was a Samaritan. He was what? An Israelite. He was a Jew. Religiously, she was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. And what also we find out in this passage is what? She was unclean and he was holy. His disciples came up afterwards and saw what? Oh, no. What's he doing? He's talking to a woman, but he's also talking to a woman that has a story in her life. What does this say to us? It says two things. Number one, it says Jesus is willing to cross taboos to reach people. If we're going to see our neighbors come to know Christ, we're going to have to understand taking the Lord's name in vain. There's a lot of people right now that don't know Christ, and their language about Jesus and about other things is awful. They swear, they curse, they take Jesus's name in vain, and they don't even know any difference, because they don't know the Lord. And if we're going to move into being agents with them, we're going to have to be willing to what? To associate with people that are a little bit outside of our comfort zone. They're going to tell stories that are a little bit different. They're going to say things that are extremely different, but I'm not going to be put off by that. Why? Because I want to be at their heart level, and I want to be a person that's able to speak into them. Christians, we have the greatest force for change inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus teaches us here that if we're going to reach other people, we're going to have to be put into those particular situations. The third thing that's very, very important to me is, what was Jesus's methodology to speak to this woman? Did he preach to her? Hey, can I sit you down right now? Hey, I know about you. Hey, can we see a little video of your life? That's not how he starts. The way he starts with her is what? What does he do? He asks a question. See, for preachers, we don't ask questions. We're the ones that tell information. Jesus was one that was after her heart, and the way that you get after a heart is by asking a question. Because when you ask a question, it opens up the conversation. It begins to reveal what's inside of a person's life. It begins to reveal that. Matt and I are developing a relationship. We've known each other for about 9 months. You know, our conversation at this point, hey, where did you guys come from? What did you do before you came to New Hope? What's on your heart for the church? You see the kind of questions we're asking? Very, very informational. You know, what do you enjoy the most about your job? Now we're moving the discussion a little differently. We're moving down into the issues of passions and those kind of things. And over time, God's going to lead us to begin to talk about how we're doing as husbands, how we're doing as fathers, how are we doing in the areas of our life that matter the most. But that doesn't happen instinctively. It takes time for that. And why does it take time for that? Because it takes trust for that to happen. I'm not just going to share everything in my heart to Matt before I know him, before that I've trusted him with information. But now that I've begun to trust him with things, I then can begin to what? I begin to can share some of these things. Look what Jesus does in this passage. They're having a great religious discussion. I'm a Samaritan. We worship on this mountain. All right, this is where we do it. This is our day of the week. And Jesus is talking about Judaism. And then Jesus what? Jesus goes from talking about to religion to talking about what? The hole in her heart. And let me just be honest with all of us today. All of us have a hole in our heart. All of us have that something, that everything spot that we really don't want to reveal to anybody. And Jesus gets to that place. Now, the amazing thing that we don't see in this passage is we don't see the look that was on Jesus's face. And we don't see the look on the woman's face. What does shame look like? Does anybody know what shame looks like? For those of you that are teenagers here, I mean, when your parents ask you something that's very convicting, what do you do with your head? You put your head down. It's kind of a sign of what? It's, I'm convicted. I'm shamed. There was something that happened here that when Jesus began to talk about the things that were on her heart, the way I envision this passage is that the woman did not break eye contact with Jesus. Is that she experienced such love in the moment that she was not ashamed of the things that she had done, but rather the love of Christ was able to penetrate her heart in such a way that even though she was exposed, she felt loved in that. Goodness gracious. That is powerful. And church, I want to be honest with you today. For those of us who know Jesus, we have an amazing Savior. We do not have a Savior that beats us up, that shames us and say, how could you do that? We have a Savior that loves us and offers us something that our own hearts is not satisfying. He offers us Jesus himself. And she walks away in a shame culture and goes into a village where probably most every woman in that village knew her story, because maybe some of even their husbands knew her in a very intimate way. And she walks in there and says, come see this man who told me everything that I ever did. I believe that this is what Jesus does with each of us. He pursues us. He exposes us. He heals us. And then he releases us in the midst of our story. All right. It's not like she goes into the city and says, hey, come see Jesus. It says she goes into the city and says, come see this Jesus who what? Who knows me for who I truly am. Because if you come to know him like I truly know him, you will respond the same way. I think something that's very important that's here is that as we get deeper into people's lives, you're going to be amazed at the stuff that people are carrying around inside of them. let me just be a lot more honest than that. If I were to talk to you today about my own heart, you would be amazed about the things that I carry around inside of me. And it's only Jesus that can heal that place. And that's what makes Christianity so, so unique. I was talking to Jeff after the service today, the new believer, and I was just encouraging him. And I said, Jeff, through the translator, I said, Jeff, let me just tell you some things that's happened to you today. Everything that you've had in your life up until this point, you've earned it. You work at a restaurant, you get paid a wage. At the end of 40 hours during that week, your boss gives you what? A paycheck based upon what? What you earned. All right. Somehow you made it over here. Probably you made it over here and somebody what paid your check for you to be over here. You earned that. But when it comes to Jesus and when it comes to what Christ has done on the cross, he is the one that has purchased our salvation. It's not up to us. Our hope is not in how good we are. Our hope is in what this great Jesus has done for us. So the hope that we have to share with one another are the stories of what Jesus can do in the midst of the forgiveness that he's provided for us. People are hungry for that. Now, I don't know if you were here, but about three or four Christmases ago, right before Christmas, there were five suicides, all among females, right before Christmas, from about two or three different high schools here in the Woodlands area. Five girls committed suicide. We don't know what they look like. But I bet they probably looked externally like everybody else does. I bet their hair was in place. I bet they had some makeup on and some jewelry and those kind of things. And five girls listened to a voice inside of them that said, it's more beneficial for you to take your life than to live. I just wonder what would have happened if there was a Christian that she knew that could have spoken hope into her life. Just wonder what would have happened if she had been connected to somebody that could say, hey, there's a Savior that knows the stuff that you're carrying around. So that's the hope that we get to have. That's the hope that we get to have. And so what was the response? Villagers came out. They came and met this Jesus. And then their final statement was what? We've heard what you've said about this Jesus. And now that we've tasted this Jesus, we want that very Jesus that you have for us. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. All of us are on a journey. Some are further on the journey than others. Some of you might not even be in a personal relationship with Christ. It's a difference between going to church and knowing Jesus personally. Some of you might not be there now. Some of you might have been in church, but you really have not had your heart transformed by the cross of Jesus. Because if your heart is transformed by the heart cross of Jesus, it moves you, all right? It moves you in that. Some of you are on that journey. You're growing, you're developing, you're moving in that process. And some of you that are here today, you've been walking with the Lord for some time, and you're at a place that the Lord is beginning you. I want to give you two applications in closing. Application number one is this, is that you need to really develop your salvation story. You need to develop your salvation story, and you need to develop your salvation story in two ways. Number one, you need to be able to do it in one sentence. In one sentence, what has Christ done for you? Christ has forgiven me because of this. Christ has done this for me. In one sentence, you need to be able to say it. And then you also need to be able to expand it into one paragraph. But you need to be able, if somebody puts you on the spot or if you're in a place, you need to be able to have your salvation story, your transformation story into one sentence that you are able to weave into any conversation that you're around. And the second thing is prepare your story. And then also prepare this week that there's going to be people that you run into that need to hear that, need to hear that. What do I mean by that? Is that when you're living with the reality of what Christ has done for you, there are multiple ways and multiple conversations that you can filter that story in. Hey, man, how you doing? Very, very common American question that we ask. It really does not have a lot of weight to it, does it? It's one of those questions, just, hey, how are you? On Monday, how was your weekend? But if you are beginning to clue in on that question, you can begin to probe a little further in your conversations, and the Lord is going to give you the opportunity to encourage somebody, to pray for somebody, to grieve with somebody, to cry with somebody, to give hope to somebody. And we are living in a day and age right now where people need the hope that we have as Christians. And so this week, two applications. Number one, prepare your testimony. And then also prepare to weave your story into the stories that you're around. Just a couple comments in regards to that. I was just in Egypt, and I was at a conference of about 90 people. A third of them were pastors, a third of them were church leaders, and a third of them were just members of the church. I preached, and a guy came up to me afterwards. The topic was on discipleship, how to be a disciple and how to make disciples. And this pastor came up to me afterwards, and he said, I just want to let you know, I listened to you today, and I just don't know if God can use me to be a disciple maker. I don't think I have the personality to be used by God. And what he was really saying, I think, was that I don't have your personality. So how can God use me? My personality is not like yours. And my first thought is, praise God, you don't have my personality. I said, how about Thaddeus and Bartholomew? Two disciples of Jesus that we hear nothing about other than the list of who they were. And probably we don't hear much about Thaddeus and Barnabas because they did not have, or Bartholomew is because they did not have a Peter personality. Praise God for that. 3 days later, the videographer of the event came to the front to share his testimony. He's about 28, 30, somewhere in that stage. He stands up, and right next to him is this pastor that does not feel like he has the personality to be used. He stands up and he says, I came to this conference, not even know why I'm here. I came, I had many other opportunities, especially to make more money in other places. But for some reason, I came compelled to come. And now I realize that the reason that I came to this is that God had another assignment for me. And that this man right here spoke Christ into my life in a way that I gave my heart to Jesus for the first time. Powerful. Somebody that thought they could not even be used, God uses them that week to lead somebody else to the Lord. I like stories like that. Let's just kind of think just to the future just a little bit, to a place called heaven. Heaven will be populated by people who what? Who are all there for one reason. Their stories include Jesus in it. And Jesus has met them in the midst of their brokenness. And when we get to heaven, there's going to be stories like this. That man right there, God used him in my life to share Jesus with me. That woman right there, she lived next door to me, and she continued to share Christ to me and give me love and show me love. And I gave my life to Jesus. There's going to come a time where we get a chance to be in heaven, and the choices that we make here will influence heaven into the future. I don't know about you, but I want to have a story to tell in heaven about how God used me on this earth right now. Amen for that?
Amen.
God uses broken people in the midst of their brokenness, not as a barrier, but as a bridge to reach people. I hope you feel loved by the Lord today. I hope you feel and know the presence of God's grace to you in the midst of your brokenness. I pray today also that you know that the Lord wants to use you in that. I'm going to have my daughter Madison come up to the front right now. I didn't even tell her this. I just want Maddie to pray for us today. She's my new 17-year-old, turned 17. And I like the way she prays. But more importantly than that, I like the story of what the Lord's doing in her life. When you come to Jesus, it does not mean that you have an easy path. When you come to Jesus, you do have a new path, and you have the Lord that's there with you, even in the midst of the trials and the challenges. So, Matt, would you pray for us today and
yes.
Maybe share anything that you want to share on the front end or on the back end?
I'll pray for us.
All right.
Yes.
You want to take your mask off so they can see you?
Oh, yes. Please pray with me this morning. Dear God, I just thank you for what a privilege it is to be here this morning in the church, God, to be here in your presence and come together to praise your name. We all are here today because we have been saved and redeemed by you, that we have met this Jesus that has transformed our lives, that has brought hope to places we thought that could never be redeemed, God. And every one of us here has experienced pain. We've experienced pain from this world, pain from relationships, pain from so many things. And today it's easy to cover up. It's easy to hide a lot of things that we are feeling. But God, you redeemed us and you know our hearts and you know these places inside of us that because of the name of Jesus, no longer is our story shame. No longer is our story pain. Mm-hmm. Our story is now Jesus that came and redeemed us. And I just pray for this week and this month and every day, God, that you put people around us that need a Jesus in the pain that they're walking through, God. They need you in their lives, and you've put us next to them for that reason. And I pray that when the opportunity comes for each and every one of us to share our faith, to share who Jesus is, that you would give us courage, that we no longer would live afraid or live in the lies of the enemy, but live in the hope of you. So thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. And we just pray that we would be a part of continued seeing people come to know you and knowing that hope in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love that message.